can change lives, can encourage hearts, and can do mighty, mighty things. I just thank you for what you're going to do here today. I give you all praise. I give you all glory, and I give you all honor. In the name above all names, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. If you want to stick your finger in 1 Samuel, you can. That's where I'm going to be coming out of this morning. And the title to my sermon is Philistines, Oil or No Oil. And, you know, a lot of times, like Jim, like those scriptures that Jim read before, when we were in Sunday school, he felt like the Lord wanted him to read that. And I told him, I want you to read that when we come out here, I said, because I feel like if people will really hear what the Spirit is speaking to them today, it will help them a lot. And, you know, a lot of these stories, people just take them for face value, what they say. But I tell you, there's way deeper truths beyond, in these stories than what is on the surface there. And in 1 Samuel chapter 31, I'm going to go through verse 1 through 7. It says, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And you know, I don't know if you all are real familiar. I think most everybody in here is pretty familiar with the things concerning the Philistines. You know, the Philistines in Scripture were, that is where Goliath came from. That's where all the giants from the land came from. You know, I shared a message with you all years ago about Numbers, the 13th chapter, about the sons of Anak, and that's where all the giants in the land came from. And I talked to you about, Joshua and Caleb went over and spied out the land. They came back with a good report. The rest of the people that were sent over came back with a bad report. And, you know, Caleb stood up and he said, that the people over there, basically they're big giants and all this and that. He said, but they'll be bread for us, you know. And, you know, God's dealt with me many, many times about the giant things in our lives. And if we would just trust him, then he will cause even the giant things, the things that just seem so unsurmountable, are so where we just think, looking at them on the natural, we think, well, I can't defeat that. But I tell you what, you can defeat anything in Christ. You know, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that word Philistine. The word Philistines, it's first mentioned in Genesis 10:14, and it literally means to rolling about, transitory, migrating, immigrating, moving to and fro, wandering. It means from a true course or to be rejected. And you know, the inhabitants of Philistina, a tribe or a nation of people in Palestine that was always at enmity with Israel. Who's at enmity with Israel today? The what? The Palestinians? So the things of the natural declare the things of the spirit. So I got news for you. The Philistines are still over there in the natural. It hasn't changed. It hasn't went away. But it says, inhabitants of Philistine, a tribe and a nation of people in Palestine that was always at enmity with the Israelites, against whom the Israelites were most continually warring. And, you know, we could look at that and we could say, well, this is just talking about in the natural. But I want you to know it's not just talking about in the natural. It's talking about spiritually too. You know, they were strangers. They were immigrants, foreigners. They were foreign to the spirit in the natural. In the spiritual realms, there was five great cities of the Philistines ruled by five lords. And you know, when I look at five, I began to look at what the number five means to us. The number five to us in this day and age, if you know about scriptures, it's the number for grace. And it also, other places where you see the number five, you see the number five in the story of the virgins. There were five who had no oil and five who had oil. Now, I'm not talking to you about the Palestinians over there today because, you know, God will take care of all that in his own time, in his own way. But I'm talking to you about what the Philistines mean to you in your own life. And you know, we know that there that all of the giants came from that land. And we know, like I say, that if you look, if you take a look at that, you realize that the five that had the oil, when the master came, they had light in their lamps, and the five that didn't. And I'm going to tell you, and I've spoken on this before, but I believe that's a type of the five natural senses and the five spiritual senses. We have both of those. That's 10. But we have five natural senses and we have five spiritual senses. And you say, well, Brother Oscar, what are the five spiritual senses? Have you ever read in the scripture where it says, taste and see that the Lord is good? Have you ever read where it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? Have you ever heard that when we see him as he is, we'll be like him? And I'm going to tell you, there's spiritual senses and there's natural senses. If you listen to your natural senses, then you're listening to the Philistines, so to speak. You're listening to the ones that have no oil. You're listening to the ones that are going to look at all kind of situations and all kind of circumstances and are going to feel like those are totally insurmountable. There's no way that I can handle this. There's no way that I can overcome this. And I tell you what, if you look at it in that sense, then you'll be saying the same thing that they said back there in Numbers, the 13th chapter. The 10, when they said, we've went over into the land, and they said, we've seen these great giants, and I'm paraphrasing here, and they said, and we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes, and so we were in their eyes. Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I want you to know that when you begin to judge things with your five natural senses, they're going to deceive you. They're going to cause you to make wrong decisions. They're going to cause you to walk in defeat a big part of the time. Because the five natural senses would be, I loved the sister's testimony last week when she talked about when she, you know, when she was a kid, she was told she was ugly. She was told all the different thing, negative things concerning herself. But you know what? She was beautiful. She was absolutely beautiful last week. I mean, I just sat there and I just marveled at the beauty of the Lord radiating out of that woman. Because she just loved God and she had the joy of the Lord and all that. She was and you know what? She had greater vision than if she'd have had 20/20 vision in the natural, because she had spiritual vision. And I want you to know that we have to learn to ask the Lord, Lord, let me operate out of the five spiritual senses, not the five natural senses. And I'm going to tell you what, as long as we operate out of the five spiritual senses, the Philistines are going to beat you up. That kid that you can't seem to get control of, he's going to cause you to feel beat up. He's going to cause you to feel like you were a failure. He's going to cause you to feel like a lot of things. That job where you can't seem to get the promotion or you're treated badly or whatever it is, you're going to feel defeated. You're going to feel like, you know, you're going to say, well, Lord, where are you in this whole situation? That sickness, and I like what you said about Phyllis. You know, Phyllis has the joy of the Lord. And, you know, I feel like what Phyllis has basically said, if you went back to the book of Job, she's basically said to the Lord and to herself, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And I'm going to tell you what, once you say that, you've gained a surpassing victory. Once you've said, Lord, you're in control, I'm not going to worry about what's going on. Even if this body falls completely apart, and we emphasize this body way, way too much, folks. We put a lot of money on the back of it. We pamper it. We buy special creams and shampoos and lipsticks and hairsprays. And us men do this. Any more men do the same thing, you know. We put jewelry on it. We do all kind of stuff to it to try to make it look a little better. But I got news for you. It's basically falling apart from the day we're born. It's basically deteriorating and going downhill. And I mean, you know, I like to think that when I look in the mirror that I'm about 190 pounds and my stomach's real flat. But once in a while when I get a side view, I take a look and I think, I don't like looking at that. You know, that ain't what my vision of me is. Well, yeah, it is, but it's what the truth is, you know. And I got news for you. We put too much emphasis on this natural thing. These five natural senses, they will betray you every time. And you say, well, bless God, Oscar, if I smell something that smells bad, it smells bad. Yeah, it might, but it might be coming from you. It might not be something else. And I want you to know that God's wanting to deal with us about the five spiritual senses. He's wanting us to quit listening to the Philistines. And you know, Israel fled and they fell down. It says in here, that first verse, it said, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down, slain in Mount Gilboa. And you know, when I took a look at that Mount Gilboa, I was kind of interesting to see what it meant. It comes from two words. And the two words are fountain of abutilation. I think that's how you pronounce it. I think I'm pronouncing that word right. I wasn't familiar with that word. It was a very unusual word to me, you know. So I had to look it up to find out what it meant, you know, when I saw that. And literally what it means here, abutilation literally has the meaning of any sudden or violent aggravation or irritation. And the other, the word for gal there has the meaning of something rolled, a heap of stones or a heap of dung. A heap of dung. And I'm going to tell you what, we have a lot of sayings in our day, and I'm not going to say a lot of them, because I'd probably get in trouble if I did. But, you know, when somebody's lying to us, we'll say that something's getting deep, you know. And, you know, one of the main sayings you'll see on a lot of people's car is something happens, you know. And we acknowledge those sayings a lot. And, you know, I was even thinking about, I've seen people actually get out in fields and they have contests they call cow chipping. And what they do is they take cow dung after it's dry and see how far they can throw it. You know, they try to sail it and see how far they can throw it. And I'm going to tell you what, the Philistines will always slay you on Mount Gilboa. They'll always slay you in the situation where a sudden and violent reaction causes you to get into some bad stuff, causes you to get into something that's not very nice, you know. One of the other meanings of that is to gush over, to swell. And I got news for you. I told a story one time, and a lot of things depend on how you look at it. I told this years ago in a sermon. But they took these kids, And they gave them these toys, and they wanted them to try these toys out. And they gave these one kids the toys, and they put them in a room by themselves, you know, a kid. He played with the toys after a while, and he broke them. And they took this other kid, and they put him in a room full of horse dung. And it was up to his knees. And they was trying to observe to see what these kids would do. And the one kid broke the toy right away, fiddling with it and stuff. And they looked in the other room to see what the other kid was doing. And they saw him jumping and diving into the horse manure and coming up all over the place. He had it all over him, and he just kept diving into it and diving into it. And they got the one kid, and they said, "Well, why did you play with the toy and break it?" He said, "Well, I knew it'd break it eventually anyway, so I just broke it." And they asked the other kid, they said, "What was you doing?" He said, "Well, all that horse manure in there, I knew there had to be a pony in there somewhere." And you know, that's what life's all about, folks. It's about your attitudes. It's about how you look at it. Are you going to let the Philistines get you down? You're going to let them beat you up? And when I'm talking about the Philistines there, I'm talking about literally those five natural senses. Because they'll defeat you every time. You know, I got news for you. Every time over in Israel, in the natural, now this is in the natural, every time over in Israel that Israel gives the Palestinians more land or gives them back something, do you think that causes peace? No. It causes more war. They're a little closer, and now they can throw more bombs at you, and they can blow up more things. If you listen to what they say in the natural, their whole ideal, their whole goal is to totally destroy Israel. And I got news for you. Spiritually speaking, when you let the five natural senses in you rule and reign over you, those five natural senses will totally destroy you. They will cause you to judge things with the wrong judgment. You know, there's a scripture back in Isaiah where he says, "I'm going to bring forth my servant the branch, and he's not going to judge with the seeing of the eye nor the hearing of the ear, but he's going to judge righteous judgment." And the only way that you can judge things righteously is even in your prayer life, when you begin to pray and say, "Lord," and you're in a situation, "give me eyes to see what's really happening here. Give me ears to hear your spirit in the middle of this thing. You know, let me taste the sweetness of the Lord even in the midst of the most bitter situation. You know, let me feel your presence," you know, and begin to talk to the Lord like that, even in your prayer life. And what you're going to find out is that you'll start operating in the five spiritual senses, the ones that have oil. The five natural senses that are the Philistines, they don't have no oil. And they'll beat you up day after day after day after day, because you'll look at that situation and you'll think, "Well, it just keeps getting worse. It just keeps getting worse. It just keeps getting worse." And you got to sort of be like the kid in the room full of horse manure. And I could call it something else, because that's what it seems like you're in sometimes. You got to keep diving under the surface and saying, "Lord, where are you in this situation? I'm trusting you in this situation." He was looking for the pony. And you know what? He probably found a pony, more likely, if it was still in there. It was probably in there somewhere. I don't know. But let's go on a couple more verses. It says, "And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan, Abinadab, and Melchishua," I think is the way you pronounce that, Melchishua, Saul's sons. "And the battle was sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers." In other words, the archers hit him with an arrow. "And then said Saul unto his armor bearer, 'Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me.' But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all the men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley and they that were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel the men of Israel fled, and Saul and his sons were dead. They forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. Now, you know, I want to take a look at Saul a little bit there. And all of us have a little bit of Saul in us, you know, and you might not like me saying that, but we all have a little bit of Saul in us. And Saul's name means, if you go and check it out, his name means, one of the meanings of his name means to lay, to charge. And what that literally means is, I'm going to blame somebody else. That's what it really amounts out to. And that was Saul's nature. You know, when Saul first was anointed king of Israel, the people rose up and told the Lord, we want a king. And Samuel told him, he said, you know, God's your king. You don't need a king. No. We want to be like other nations. We want a king. And when Samuel went about and the Lord pointed Saul out to him, Saul was head and shoulders above all of the people in the land. He was tall. I mean, you know, head and shoulders. That means everybody else came to right there on Saul. You can't hide too good when you're that tall. If you're in a crowd, it's obviously you're there. But you know, when they went and Samuel began to look for Saul, Saul's first reaction to Samuel was, I'm the least in all of my father's house. I'm little. Why would they pick me? And he was little in his own eyes. And then after he became king, he began to get real big in his own eyes, you know. And let me tell you what, don't never get too big in your own eyes, because God will bring you down if you do. Don't ever start looking at Oscar thinking he's perfect, because he sure ain't. And I don't want anybody ever putting that on me, because I'm not. You know, I have my faults just like the rest of you. I have my shortcomings just like the rest of you. I don't put anybody on a pedestal. I loved Brother Eddie with all my heart and tried to do everything I could to help him in any way I could, you know, over the years. But I didn't put Brother Eddie on a pedestal. And a lot of people put him on one, and I'm going to tell you what, he had to fall off of it for a lot of them, you know. Don't put people on a pedestal. You're little. Remain little in your own eyes, you know. Okay, I'm going to tell you about another Saul real quick. Saul up in the New Testament, okay? He was out breathing cruelties to people. He was out hunting down the Christians. He had a letter from the priest, the high priest, saying that he could arrest them and bring them in for trial, and they could persecute them. And, buddy, he was doing exactly what religion was telling him to do then. And I got news for you. There's a lot of them out there today doing exactly what religion is telling them to do. But whether they know it or not, they're not doing what God's telling them to do. And, you know, what had to happen with Saul of Tarsus? He had to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And when he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, Saul, Saul, isn't it hard for you to kick against the pricks? Isn't it hard you stand and kick the cactus? Don't you realize what you're doing? Who art thou, Lord? Funny that he said, Lord. Who are you, Lord? Don't you think there was a part of him knew who it was? I'm Jesus whom you persecute. What did he tell him? He said, I'm going to tell you how great a things you're going to have to suffer for my namesake. What happened to him? The first thing that happened to him, he became blind. Our sister last week, you know, she's clinically blind, I guess, if you want to call it that. You know, but I tell you what, it took God sending one of the people he was persecuting to come to him and pray for him that his eyes be open. And when he did, the scales fell away from his eyes. And I'm going to tell you what, he saw like he had never saw before. He had vision he'd never had before. He began to see things clearly. And I'm going to tell you, it's sort of like John the Baptist, where John the Baptist, when they come and told him about Jesus, he said, I must decrease that he might increase. And I'm going to tell you what, that's what God does in us. He decreases us that he might bring himself forth in greater depths. And I'm going to tell you what, if you find yourself blaming somebody else for all your problems and all your situations and everything that's going wrong, I got news for you, folks. You're letting old Saul raise right up there. And if you remember what happened with Saul, God told him to go and to utterly destroy some of the enemies of Israel. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of these things were they're spiritual. And he did it in the natural. God had a lot of these things happen in the natural so that we would have examples spiritually of what we're to do. And what happened? He sent Samuel to him because when Saul came back, he was to utterly destroy the sheep, all the people, everything. And Saul in the Old Testament decided to bring back all of the good stuff. And Samuel told him, what is this I hear? I hear the lowing of cattle and the baaing of sheep. And right away he had an excuse. He says, well, you know, he says, I want to bring all this back and sacrifice it unto the Lord. And Samuel told him, obedience is better than sacrifice. And I got news for you. Obedience as to what God tells you to do, when he tells you to do it, and how he tells you to do it, it's better than any sacrifice that you can give him. I mean, it's wonderful to give him the sacrifice of prayer and the sacrifice of praise. You should do that. But he's even more interested in you giving him the sacrifice of obedience when he speaks to you. Do what he tells you to do when he tells you to do it, and don't go no farther than what he tells you to go. And you know what happened there was right away, Saul begins to tell Samuel, he says, well, you know, he says, the people told me I should bring this stuff back. The people. I got news for you. The people ain't your problem. The problem is you. The problem is you. And I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care who's mistreating you. I don't care what it is. Until you come to the fact that you realize that you can't blame something else outside of yourself for what's happening to you, and you begin to start praising the Lord and saying, Lord, I know you're in control. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to look for the good in this thing. I don't care how hard that is. I've told you all a story about a boss I used to have at another company, and that guy could push every button in me. I come within a hair of punching him in the nose 2 or 3 times. I'm honest with you, and I'm just telling you the truth. I come very close a few times, and I was a fairly young Christian then, you know. Brother Eddie used to preach all them sermons about the boss that rode you with spurs. I had a really good boss for the first 4 or 5 years I worked there, and then this guy became the boss. And, you know, he in the natural, he did a lot of umpiring, and he was an umpire, buddy. I mean, it was his way or no way, you know what I mean. And half the time, he didn't know what he was talking about, be honest with you. But yet it was one of those situations where he could push every button in me, and I kept praying over the years, Lord, change so and so, Lord, change so and so, Lord, change so and so, Lord, change so and so. Guess what? God never changed so and so. Guess who he changed? Me. I bit out of that department that I worked in, because I thought, man, I got to get out of here before I kill this guy. You know, I'm going to punch him if I don't get out of here. And I got out of there. And then there was an opportunity for me to learn something I didn't know, to go on night shift for a few weeks. But I had to learn this job on the day shift and then go on night shift to help them get out of the hole. I go on the night shift. They didn't have a foreman on the night shift, and they had other guys. Guess who come on the night shift as the foreman? Right there. But you know what? It had been years on down the road, and I noticed he wasn't able to push my buttons anymore. Thank God for that. But God never changed the other guy. Who he changed was me. I want to tell you, we have to quit having the Saul nature. You know, Saul had an anointing on him. David said, I'll not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. Now, I got news for you. When Saul was anointed, it said that Samuel took a cruse of oil. And a cruse was some kind of a vessel, and poured oil over Saul's head and anointed him king of Israel. But what he had the oil in was a man-made thing. When Samuel anointed David king of Israel, he took a horn of oil. A horn is a God-made thing. And he poured it over his head. The difference was, one was a man-made anointing, the other one was a God-made anointing. That's why it was said in Scripture that Saul was disobedient and God was going to tear the kingdom away from him. And David actually did some worse things than Saul did. He committed adultery. He caused this person to go out and be killed and everything else. But yet, when he was confronted with that, instead of making an excuse that the people made me do it, or it's because the mean old boss, or it's because my next door neighbor, or it's because my cousin or my aunt or my uncle or my mother or my sister or my brother or whoever it is, it's their fault. Instead of saying that, in Psalm 51, he said, against you and you alone, Lord, have I sinned. And he realized that, and he owned up to what he had done immediately. And you know, that's the difference between the two. That's the difference between the two anointings. The anointing of a God will let you know where you stand with him and when you're in the wrong, and will even cause you to go back and apologize to somebody when you are in the wrong. And I'm telling you what, if God's bidding you do that, do it. Don't hold back, because if you've said things or done things to people that you shouldn't, and God's dealing with your heart, obedience is better than sacrifice. You can stand in here and say, praise the Lord, every Sunday for till the cows come home, but it won't do you near as much good as if God said, go and apologize. Go and tell that person, I'm sorry. Go and tell that person, I forgive you. And don't make no excuses. I forgive you, even though you was a mean snake to me. Don't do it that way. Just tell them, I forgive you. You know? Will you please forgive me for the attitudes that I've had? Wow. What a difference. What a difference, folks. Now, let's talk about a little bit here. Let's talk about a little bit more. You know, Saul had some sons. Jonathan was his one son. And Jonathan was the one that David had a rapport with. And Jonathan and David, they loved each other. They were like brothers. They loved each other, you know. And Jonathan's name means Jehovah given. Jehovah given. And Abinadab means father of generosity. Father of generosity. And Melchishua meant king of wealth. Now, when he named those boys, had he done those things that he named those boys, he would have been okay. If he had realized that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Jehovah given. Any situation you're in, anything you got, you did not earn that on your own. God gave that to you. And if you're going to really walk with the Lord, guess what? It don't really belong to you. It belongs to Him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. You remember back during the situation with Job in the Old Testament. He was an upright man in all of his days, one of the most upright men on the earth. And there came a time, says, when Satan and the sons of God came before the Lord. You mean the satanic thing comes before the Lord? I got news for you. He's in control of that too. You might not think so. He's in control of that too. He's in control of that. And let me tell you. And Satan said to the Lord. And actually God said to him first. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Upright man and sues evil. Man, he's a good guy. Good guy. God said that to Satan. Satan says, well, don't he fear you for a good reason? You've placed a hedge about him, and I can't touch his life. And he said, lift the hedge, and I'll make him curse your name. Basically, that's what he said. And he said to him, okay, but don't touch his flesh. Well, right away, all of his children gets killed. All of his wealth begins to be taken away. And I'm going to tell you what, sometimes if those things are super important to you, that can get mighty sticky. That can get mighty hard to take. But you know what? Job didn't lose heart. Then Satan came back and he said, skin for skin, let me touch his flesh. And he said, okay, but don't take his life. Smitten with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Anybody ever had a boil? I think one. It hurts. One hurts. Can you imagine the top of your head to the soles of your feet having nothing but boils all over you? I don't care what you were doing. You couldn't get comfortable. You'd have to be in misery. So what happens after that? His lovely wife comes in. She loves him. And she tells him, Job, how long are you going to retain your integrity? Why don't you just curse God and die? Now, I'm going to tell you, if that didn't feel like somebody hit you over the head with a 2x4, I don't know what would. If Margaret told me that, I'd say, oh, I thought you loved me. And what does he say? He says, woman, shall we receive only good at the hand of the Lord and not also evil? And it says right there in Scripture, it says, and in all these things, did Job not curse God or charge him foolishly? He realized the sovereignty of God. God was in control. And let me tell you what. Then what comes along? All of Job's comforters, they come along. Well, you know, Job, if you was really doing what God told you, you wouldn't have had that cancer. And you know, God heals cancer. He does heal cancer. But he ain't healed yours yet. So maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you're not pleasing God. Maybe you're not praying enough. Maybe you're not really seeking the Lord. Let me tell you what, we can all be Job's comforters if we're not careful. And they continue to talk on to him. And Job keeps telling them, well, no, I've done what God told me to do. And I'm, and he keeps kind of holding on to his own integrity a little bit. And what ends up happening? Goes on down the road after a while. And then God starts talking to Job. And he said, Job, if you know so much, where were you when this happened? Where were you when that happened? Where were you when the morning stars leapt for joy? You know it, don't you? You know all that stuff. And Job had to repent. And he had to say, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I've seen you. And I'm going to tell you what, we need to pray, oh God, let us see you. You know, we used to sing a song, let me see the hand of God in everything, for I know that not but pleasure it will bring. And that's what we need to pray. Oh, God, let me see your hand in every situation, every circumstance. I don't care what it looks like with the 5 natural senses. Let me see, begin to behold it with the 5 spiritual senses. Let me begin to behold you in the middle of every situation, every circumstance. And then what did Job do? Job began to pray for his comforters, the ones that had told him, well, Job, if you was really a righteous man, God wouldn't let this happen to you. He wouldn't let this happen. He wouldn't let that happen, you know, all this and that. And once he began to pray for his comforters, for the ones who really weren't comforting, they were sticking barbs in him continuously, guess what happened? God restored everything that he had and more. And I'm going to tell you what, that's what we have to realize. Jehovah given, God is the giver of everything. Father of generosity. If Saul back here would have kept these things really in his heart that he named those children, and he had been a generous king and a loving king and treated his people right, and then king of wealth, and realized that all wealth and everything came from God and it belonged to him, then I don't know if all of these people would have had to die there. The Philistines killed them, though. And like I say, the Philistines are your five natural senses in the spiritual realm. So it's five natural senses. And I'd love to tell you the rest of the story, but I can't. I don't have enough time. There's a lot more. Because if you get a chance, read the next chapter. In the next chapter, because it begins to start telling you about some other things that went on. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of truths over there too, but we're going to close. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you right now, Father, to let us begin to cast down the Philistines. You know, David rose up. You know, the Philistines stood one time and they sent out Goliath, the big giant. And I mean, he was a big dude. I mean, the scripture talks like he was about 9 feet tall, taller than any of these basketball players we see today. And it says his spear had the shaft on it like a weaver's beam. And he came out and railed against the armies of God. And I'm going to tell you what, the giant situations in your life will come out and rail against you. They will tell you, hey, where's your God at now? If you had such a great God, why is he letting this happen? Why is he letting that happen? How come this is going on? But I tell you what, Saul and all them just stood by and listened. Saul was hiding in his tent because he was the tallest guy in the land. He should have been the one to go out and face him. He said, send out your champion. If he defeats me, we'll be your servants. If we defeat him, you can be our servants. So what does God send? A little shepherd, young man. I don't know how old David was. Sometimes they say a boy. I don't know if he was a boy. I think he was probably a young man, not very old. Sends a young man. He hears Goliath out there railing and carrying on, and what's he do? He begins to tell him, why isn't somebody going out and fighting this? And I'm putting this in my own words. Why isn't somebody going out and fighting this big giant? Why are they letting him talk about Israel the way he is? And the name Israel means he shall rule as God. I got news for you. That's what it means. He shall rule as God. And when he was railing on Israel, he was talking about God not being ruling. And what ended up happening was, it's his brothers. And a lot of times when God begins to rise up in you, you'll find your brothers are the worst ones to encourage you. They'll start to say, well, hey, who do you think you are? You ought to kind of back off a little bit. You're stepping out a little too far. You know, sometimes your brothers will do that to you and your sisters. But I'm going to tell you what, he went in and he told Saul. So what Saul tried to do? Puts his armor on David. David can't even move with Saul's armor on. I got news for you. The armor of the flesh won't let you move if you're in God. It will not let you go forward if you're in God. It will stop you in your tracks. So what's David do? He takes a sling. He goes down to the brook and he picks up five smooth round stones, not five jaggedy ones. I would have, if it was me in the natural, I'd have picked up the sharpest ones I could find, figuring if I'm going to foam at that giant, I want to take him down. But David didn't do that. He picked up five smooth round stones. And when he picked up those five smooth round stones, he put them in his bag and he went down there And he said, you come out against me with all these weapons, basically what he said. I come out against you in the name of the Lord God. And he reached in the bag and he pulled out one of the stones and he started whipping it around and he hit the giant right between the eyes. Where do we need the giant situations in our life hit? Right between the eyes, folks. And the giant fell. And David went and took the giant's sword and cut his head off. And I'm going to tell you, there's five gifts of the Spirit, or five ministries: apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, the fivefold ministry. And I'm going to tell you what, those ministries haven't stopped yet. They will eventually, but only as the fullness of it comes in, see? When the fullness comes in, there'll be no need for the impart thing. But he still uses the impart right now. When the fullness comes in, there won't be no need for the impart, because then you'll know even as you're known. You'll know God even as he knows you. But he took one of those out and hit the giant right between the eyes. Let the apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, or teacher that the Spirit uses hit you between the eyes. That's why it's necessary for you all to come in here and hear messages. That's why it's necessary for you to gather together, because God speaks out of his people. And buddy, he'll bring the giants down. And I'm going to tell you, the last thing I'm going to say to you is this. Goliath's name means to denude or to shamefully expose. And what does the giants in your life do to you? They unclothe you. They take the clothes. They try to take the robe of righteousness off of you. They try to take the garment of praise off of you. They try to make you naked. They try to expose the flesh. And buddy, if they expose the flesh, then you're defeated. But that's what the giants try to do. But I tell you what, David's name means love. Love went out and brought down the giants. And the love of God will bring, you know, in Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, but it also talks about the greatest of these is love. And love is what it's going to take to churn things around. And we need to be an expression of God's love. And we can only be that as we allow the five spiritual senses to function in our life. And we need to ask the Lord on a daily basis, Lord, let me hear what you'd have to say to me today. Let me speak only your words today. Let me hear only your words today. You know, let me see what you would have me see. And boy, I could go on and preach some other sermons about that, but I'm not going to. But I want to tell you, he's desiring to do great things in you guys. I mean, and I know you're probably getting tired of hearing me say that. He is desiring to do great things in all of you guys in the body of Christ. But we need to not let the Philistines defeat us, the five natural senses. We need to not look at those things. I don't care what God sends your way. Phyllis, praise God for Phyllis. I'm glad you shared that testimony. She's not being defeated by the Philistines. If she dies tomorrow, she's going to die in such victory and such glory because she's acknowledged God, and she's not acknowledging that old house, which is from below, as being the central thing. She has a house not made with hands. She'll step out of that house if she dies tomorrow, and that old decrepit body will fall down, and you know what? She'll step right into glory. I got news for you. But there's going to come a time in the twinkle of an eye at the last trump, the last message, when this body is going to be changed into one like unto his glorious body. And buddy, I desire to see that day. I desire to see that day. No more aches, no more pains, just the glory of God radiating out of his people. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. I don't know if you got anything you want to play or not, Cynthia. If you do, you can. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come into your presence right now. We thank you, Father, for your words are truly spirit and life. And I just thank you, Father, that you allow us to not look at those five natural senses, but begin to move only in your five spiritual senses. Not believe a lie, Father, but believe the truth. And the truth is in you, Father, because you are the truth, Lord Jesus. And I just ask you right now to move upon your people, to strengthen, to encourage them. And Father, just help them to begin to go forth and do exploits in you as your Spirit speaks to them, that they would be obedient and move and flow with you. And Father, we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. For we realize our fame and that we're but dust, but we also realize that you chose to inhabit this dust. And the glory that you've given to us is not to another, but it's to your very own body. So I thank you, Father, for even this word that you've given me today. And I know sometimes I stumble around, but Father, I just thank you that you didn't choose. I'm not no great orator, but Father, your words are spirit in their life. And I just ask you to encourage your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Praise God. God bless you all.